On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and thank you for connecting. Welcome to the big radio show. Happy Thursday to you. Sixth day of May, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So, yeah, this whole business about employment, it really is something that has changed rapidly over the last 100, 150 years, where I don't have the stats in front of me. You've seen them, though, where some massive percentage of Americans worked on the farm 150 years ago, 100 years ago. It was well, not 100, 120 years ago. Late 1800s all the way up until 1900, the Industrial Revolution. And so people, that's what they did. And they came in, that's how cities became bigger and bigger, because people moved in to the cities for the factory jobs. And then the unions came along because the employers were treating the employees poorly. And the unions decided to say, hey, let's get together and we will be stronger together than we are on our own. And they because of the unions, all these labor laws that protect you and me and everybody else in this country changed things rapidly, changed things dramatically. And this may be, maybe it took the pandemic to get to the point where technology was supposed to change how we do things, right? It would make it so much easier. You wouldn't have to work as hard. You'd be able to do more productivity, less work. Not true. We worked harder than ever before. We were just able to do more. Productivity did improve. And then the pandemic hit. And people adjusted. They had to. And now I think we're going to spend the next year adjusting again, not going back to what we were doing before, but dealing with what do we want to do and where do you want to do it? How many of you are liking working from home and plan to continue? Are you worried about your boss calling you back and saying you have to come back? JP Morgan Chase, I think it was Monday, they announced everybody back in the office. The city of New York employs, God, I can't believe how many people, 80,000 people work for the city of New York, directly employees of the city. 80,000. They had to go back to work this past Monday. Our Commie Pinko socialist mayor de Blasio said, yep, everybody back in. So this past Monday, 80,000 more people went back to work there. I think it was 20-some thousand at J.P. Morgan Chase. There's 100,000 people. The streets are clearly busier. They also, from the pandemic, they stopped the subways. They never had been stopped in the history of the New York City subway system until the pandemic hit, and at night they would stop between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., and all of the cars were cleaned and disinfected and sprayed, and they had 2 hours to clean. They had crews in the subways cleaning all those cars. But there's a lot of people. It's the city that doesn't sleep. Well, it was getting pretty quiet, so I don't know if it made much of a difference, but there are people that needed to go to work in the middle of the night or get off work. A lot of them were first-line healthcare workers getting out of hospitals working on COVID patients, and the subways weren't working. And they had no way to get home other than expensive cab or Uber, if you could find one. So all that's changed. The subways are running 24/7 again as of this week. So things are coming back, but I don't know what people want to do. 855-295-6600. Chris in Quincy, Illinois. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Doing great. What are you thinking?
Oh, man, I was one of those gifted people that got to keep working because I was an essential employee, air quote.
Yeah.
And I was happy about that because I got to keep working. But as time kept going on, I kept seeing that the people that weren't essential employees, which were a lot of friends of mine, they were benefiting off the government. They have zero motivation to go back to work because they're still making more than they were making when they were working, and they don't have to do a thing.
Yeah, right.
And
they're going to take a pay cut. They're going to take a pay cut if they go back to work.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, but here I am. Here I am, an essential employee whose company took a pretty big pay cut because the businesses that we catered to had to shut down. So they cut all overtime.
Sure.
So I took a pay cut. And then, unfortunately, I got injured, and it wasn't on the job. So now I'm sitting here making 60% of my paycheck driving for DoorDash.
Oh.
Because that's all I can do.
Speaking of gig. Oh, I want to talk to you about that. I really do want to talk to you about that because I find let me go back to Uber for just a second. Uber, the number of passengers and therefore their revenue has taken a big hit because people just weren't going around like they were before. But what they did was they had the Uber Eats, which they beefed up, and that has been a lifesaver for them. The business has risen dramatically for them. But today they came out with their earnings, and their earnings were down. And the stock is down. And the reason why some of the analysts that I know are talking about is, and they included DoorDash in the comments, was that during the pandemic, I would order food because the restaurant that I liked was shut down, so I would have to order takeout or delivery. So that boosted the whole food delivery business, but people are tired of delivery, and they want to go have food in a restaurant again. And so as the recovery of the economy is facing us, and the people are coming back to work and the restaurants are opening again, the guess is that Uber and DoorDash are going to see less business because people are not going to be forced to. We have a choice now. We can go back to a restaurant. Do you agree with that, or do you think that's hogwash?
Half and half. I think that both of those companies have figured out ways to supplement what they know they're going to lose. And, I mean, just today, instead of doing pickups at restaurants, I was going and getting people's groceries.
Oh.
People would become accustomed to – they'd become accustomed to not going out and doing things, I think.
Yep.
And they found that it's easiest to just get online, put what they want in, have somebody else do it for them.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a big convenience society, and so I think you're right. There's also – that's another one of the adjustments is before, it was kind of hard for most people to get food delivered, and now, thanks to you and your compatriots, it's easy. Go online, presto.
Thank God to my broken ankle, right?
Yeah. So what – hey, Chris, what are you going to do? The ankle – is going to heal, I hope. So then what do you do?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to work. I can't wait to get back to work. My wife works from home. I'm driving her nuts.
That's another factor that we could talk about, isn't it? Is about being, you love your wife,
but she
loves you, but man, sometimes you need some space.
I love my wife so much. I'm out driving around in a car with a broken ankle making money.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your ankle back? Is it working again? Those take a while.
I just had a doctor's appointment today. Apparently, I have 4 more weeks and I have to do the physical therapy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, ankles take a while, don't they?
Yeah.
And they hurt. Oh, man, they hurt.
First one I've ever broke.
Yeah, well, you don't want to do that again, I'm sure. All right. Hey, Chris, thank you very, very much. Keep being safe, and I hope you get back to work soon. All right. 855-295-6600. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's Tim from Cedar Rapids. Tim, how are you? How's everything? What are you doing? Have you changed what you're doing? Because you're always on the road. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I have changed what I was doing. I was an expediter, moving freight across the country, and a lot of it dried up, and I ended up getting into the courier business, which is one of the reasons I called in, because I've also done Uber. And I'm hearing you talking about, you know, Biden and them wanting to challenge it in California, they're going to cause jobs. And I'm thinking that the gig economy, particularly from an Uber standpoint, has actually been bad for America, in my opinion. I mean, I just think that, first of all, before Uber, you had taxis. Driving a taxi was a career. You would find taxi drivers that drove for 20, 30 years. Made $40,000-$50,000 a year or more. Uber drivers are getting paid pittance. I mean, it's a gig economy. I mean, they call it a side hustle because it pays so low. And not only that, but the drivers are using their own vehicles and things like that. And you're subsidizing those Uber drivers. A lot of them people are getting food stamps and all kinds of other stuff because they're getting paid so low. So I don't think that going from taxis to Uber has done anybody any benefit other than, you know, somebody who wants to make a little bit of money real quick. But yeah, I think the gig economy, because now a lot of places can switch over to that and not have to pay benefits and no 401k, no retirement. It's good for now, but in the future, that's gonna come back to bite us. Because you're gonna have a lot of people that worked in the gig economy 10, 20, 30 years of their life, and they have no retirement, but they still
and they have nothing.
So they're
well, I listen, Tim, I got to hit a break, but I want to talk to you. Can you hold on for a few minutes, or are you jamming right now?
Like a man trying to save his life at the edge of a cliff, I can hang on.
All right. Thank you. We'll be right back with Tim from Cedar Rapids. Don't go away.
Unlike most talk hosts, he actually takes your calls live. You're with Tom Sullivan.
Okay, Mr. Tim, take it away. So I've taken calls from people that have driven for Uber. Some of them really like it, but they're doing it kind of in dribs and drabs. And others are like you saying, man, you can't make any money. And I'm thinking it just the marketplace would seem to control that. If I can't make any money, then I'm not going to do it. And if I'm not going to do it and the next guy's not going to do it, then Uber's going to be having to cough up some more. They've apparently tightened up over the years. But don't you think the marketplace would fix that?
No, just like you mentioned earlier about restaurants are going to probably start dealing with illegals to make money. The fact is, when you remove a minimum wage, which there is no minimum wage in the gig economy, it's proof that there is, no matter how low somebody is paid, there is always somebody that will work that job. They'll just stack two or three jobs on top of each other. But if, like, for instance, if you got rid of the minimum wage, there would be people willing to work for $5 an hour. They just have multiple jobs.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what kind of dodo birds they are, and I'm going to go, I'm not going to use Uber anymore. There are a bunch of idiots that are driving. I'm going to use Lyft. I mean, there's competition, so you can find somebody to work for less in any business, but it affects the quality of your product, in my humble opinion.
I think I think when you compare places like Walmart to Target, it goes to show that people are more focused on cheap prices. They will sacrifice quality for cheaper prices. And, I mean, it's just there's examples of it all over the place. As long as you can get me from point A to point B without crashing into a wall, I'll jump in a raggedy car just because it's cheaper. There are people out there like that. And it would be a market for those, as you say, dodo birds.
I think the airline industry did that, and Southwest, which is not a low-cost airline anymore, but that's how they came to be, was they said, we're the low-cost carrier, and they pack you in there like sardines and give you a pretzel, and I always was fascinated going, but there's the plane right next door leaving the same time. American Airlines, and they have a big first class seat, and they'll give you a nice hot meal. But people will go the cheaper.
Because people want exactly that's what I mean. It's that as long as it's cheap and affordable, you will always have a market for it. I don't think the marketplace. There are people who want to get Uber Black and and the fancy cars and all of that. But that's a small portion of the Uber public. Most of them just want to get from point A to point B, even if it's an economy car that pulls up. They don't care. So, and Uber has really, really reduced the price of getting from point A to point B. And the drivers are the ones that are eating that whole reduction up. I mean, it's falling on the driver's shoulders. Driving somebody from point A to point B pays a lot less since Uber is in the business. So,
I don't think they're going away, though. I mean, they had to fight to get into the taxi business, but I think they're big enough and global enough. Hey, so what have you changed? What have you changed, or what have you reevaluated you and how you're doing, making a living? You said you have.
Yeah, because the freight dried up. I used to take freight all across America, and it dried up significantly. And unfortunately, I had to get out of the business. I had a Postmaster high top van I had to get rid of. I mean, it cost me. It turned me off bad. I mean, I lost money and everything.
Would you go back? If the business picks up, will you go back?
I mean, for the amount of startup cost that I would have to do, because I was running my own business. I mean, I'd have to go out and buy another, another high top van. That van was like $50,000. I mean, I got to outfit it and things like that for it to be roadworthy for what I had to do to haul that kind of freight.
Right.
I mean, I don't have the startup capital to get back in it. So if I could, if all of the stars were lined up, I'd like to do it again, but I can't. Because I took money I had saved from other things to start that business up. So I don't have that savings to do it again.
You want to have a partner?
I'm always open for a partner. I would never be opposed to that, but I mean, the freight still hasn't recovered from what happened either. I mean, the business is not recovered enough to even get back into it. So I'm open, Biden. We got Biden now. Biden's doing a good job, and I'm hoping that...
I know you. Of course you like him. Of course. That's...
Man,
Tim.
People waiting for 2024. When I look at where he's just doing it to Liz Cheney alone, people ain't going to want that divisiveness back.
No, I think the Republican Party has got to figure out who they are. But I love talking to you, Tim. Yes, I do. You want some topics to talk back about? Because, good old California is at it again. They are recalling their governor. They have enough signatures for the recall election to take place sometime in the fall. And just like in 2001 or 2003, when was the only other time. What year? What was it? I can't remember. 2003. Gray Davis was the governor of California, and people didn't like him. And so they threw him out. And the way it works then, and the way it's going to work this fall, is the people have on the ballot a stuff flashing up on my screen here that I don't need. That up on the ballot, it will say, do you want to recall Governor Newsom? Yes or no? If a majority vote, 50.1 vote to recall Governor Newsom, then the next question is, who do you want to be governor? And in 2003, there were 130 or something like that people that were running. The more, the merrier. I was working in California at the time. I had Arnold on the show. I had Mary Carey, who was a stripper that's running then. I think she's running again now. I had Gary Coleman, the little actor. He was on. I mean, it was a circus. It was an absolute circus of clowns. So the only one that really was popular and stood out and sounded serious about his ideas was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so all Arnold had to win, because there was 100 and some candidates, all he had to do, I forget what it was, 15, 20% or something like that, and he was the governor. So, and he got reelected the next go around. So Caitlyn Jenner is interesting in so many ways. Many of us remember when she was Bruce and she won the Olympic decathlon. She got the gold medal. I mean, do you know how talented is an athlete you have to be to win the decathlon? So very talented. Got involved with the Kardashians, married the Kardashian wife, and the rest is history. They split. He became she, and a lot of people trying to. I'm sure there's lots of trans jokes out there. I think it's all the springs up my throat here. Hold on. But it's not so much anymore. People are looking at Caitlyn Jenner and they're calling her Caitlyn. And a lot of people thought she doesn't have a chance. And I've said all along, she has a very good chance. I think she has an extremely good chance, very much like Arnold, because she is well known. She is famous. She is a celebrity. All that stuff counts when it comes to how people decide who to vote for. Sadly, that's what counts. So the former mayor of San Diego, I don't know if he's in or not, Kevin Falconer, he's a very smart, good former mayor of a big city, and he's serious. He's a serious candidate, but I don't give him as much of a chance as I do Caitlyn Jenner, because she is a Republican. She is conservative on many, many issues. The only thing that stands out from most Republicans is that she said, I need to go become a woman. And a lot of Republicans go, I don't know about that trans stuff. But she was dedicated and she has followed that path. But the core of who she is she is a conservative Republican on most issues. So she got in trouble with the trans group just a week or two ago because she came out and she said, I oppose, on a question of fairness, I oppose biological boys who are trans competing in girls' sports in school. It just isn't fair, and we have to protect girls' sports in our schools. I agree with Caitlyn 1,000%. I'm sorry, but the biological male is stronger, faster, more athletically skilled than most females. Yes, there are females that can whip boys in athletics, no question about it. But overall, you get these former males that are now calling themselves females or just identifying as a female, and they're out there running in track and other athletic events against them. It's not fair. I'm sorry. The biology is just not the same. So Caitlin is now throwing her hat into the ring. She's filed the paperwork for governor. I don't know. The state of California is in not good shape. It just is not. It has the highest taxes in the United States, 13.3%. It has the highest gas tax in the country, 62 cents per gallon. And they wonder why they're paying so much in California and the rest of us are not. The median home price, the median is $758,000. A lot of people cannot afford to buy a home in California. The homeless population is 162,000. The unemployment rate is one of the top three unemployment rates in the country at 8.3%. They have done a terrible job of managing what used to be called the Golden State. So along comes Caitlyn Jenner and says, I plan on doing things differently. Now, the thing about this is a lot of people will hold up the signs and say, well, Donald Trump got trounced in California. There's not a lot of Trump people in California compared to the number of people that are Democrats. And that may be true, but they're looking around at their pocketbook and how much they're paying for gas, how much they're paying for their home, how much they're paying for their utilities, how much they're paying in taxes. And they're going, maybe I could vote for this Caitlyn Jenner, even though she's a Republican. And for the Republicans, I think they're looking at her and going, I don't like this trans stuff. I don't like it. I mean, but she is conservative. And we need some conservative leadership in this state. I think she has a decent shot of getting elected the next governor of California. It really comes down to that first question on the ballot. Are you willing to throw Governor Newsom out? And that I don't know, because as the pandemic goes away, or at least reduces substantially, that will make, I think, and we get back to where people can get back to their jobs and all the other things that we've talked about. There may not be the anger. There may not be the frustration. There may not be the mood to change horses in the middle of the stream. But a lot of people looked at me when the Caitlyn Jenner first said that she was going to run, and I said, I think she can win. What? Yeah, I do. What do you think? You think she can win? Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can find the number on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So here's a couple of little clips from Caitlin. Caitlin, Cut 11, says she thinks politicians are no good.
I started out as a compassionate disruptor, and then I was thinking the other day, I think I'm more of a thoughtful disruptor. I have common sense, okay? I see what's going on, and I see no common sense in politics and why they're doing it, besides only for political reasons.
Well, why are you? So that brings the next question. Then why are you doing it, Caitlin?
I love this state. The state's done so much for me over the years, but I've watched it crumble right in front of my eyes. And you got to stand up, you know? And so I knew it would not be easy. I knew it'd be tough. But you know what? California's worth fighting for. And that's what I'm doing.
No, brother. Brother. I love this state so much. And it did so much for me. No, you kind of did your own thing and you were very successful at it. I don't know what they did for California did for you. Let's talk to Jennifer in California. Jennifer, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. What do you think?
What do I think? I don't think Caitlin's going to win. I don't think she's got a good shot. I've talked to a fair amount of people, and my own opinion is we're really tired of lifetime politicians. But I do believe that we do need to have people out there that have some political goings on, so they know exactly how, you know, at least that part of their government is run. I honestly don't think anybody seriously is ready for a female governor. I really, really don't. And I think Caitlin's got some deviant idea that she's going to do well for California. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, you have a legislature that is controlled by the Democrats, and so if she wants to push Republican conservative ideas, I don't know if she would get past the front door. I don't think she would get anything done. That's where the people of California, if they're going to change from a D to an R in the governor's office, you're going to have to change some D's to R's in your legislature, too. Because otherwise, I don't know, Caitlyn Jenner or the man from the moon can't really get anything done unless they're Democrat ideas. You agree?
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, we've got to have balance. And I think too many people are just, upset with the fact of how California is being run. That's exactly the reason why we have the recall election going to be going on. Thankfully, I'm very happy for that. I'm not for or against Caitlin. I'm not for or against Newsom, although I was one of the people that signed the forms for the recall. I think we need to get somebody in there, whether it's Democrat or Republican, that's going to look after the people and look at the best interest. And I don't think they're looking at the best interest right now, which is why Newsom was being recalled.
So the first question on the ballot will be, do you want to recall Governor Newsom? How will you answer that if you feel like sharing?
I am happy to share, and my absolute answer is yes, I do believe he needs to be recalled. He's not making the best decisions for California. I don't believe that.
Yeah. No, he's a political climber, and that's everybody knows that, so... he wants to be president someday, but I think this is going to take him off of that path. I think this is the recall, whether he succeeds or doesn't succeed. The fact that the state of the had enough votes to recall him, I think will change his political future. But all right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Ken, Lake Tahoe. Hello, Ken.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. It's good to talk to you. Hey,
hi. Likewise.
I feel this recall election is our only chance to get the other side of the conversation of California started. So whether it's Caitlin, Cox, anybody else, I think OC might be in on it. But the thing is that I think I don't really care who other than it's and anybody but Gavin Newsom for me that is not Gavin Newsom. And I think that if we can get the information out there to the public about, we already know we're paying high taxes on gas, utilities, property, everything else. So if we can get that started, maybe even just leave COVID alone. COVID's going to go away.
Is there,
so let's bring up these other things.
You mentioned some names nobody will know who you're talking about. I take it you're talking about other Republicans. Is there a Democrat running against to be on the list of people if Newsom is recalled? You know, if there's Democrats running
to that. I haven't paid that much attention because my big thing was to get an R in the governorship, because like you said, the legislature is all Democrat, but at least this governor, if we right. have a conservative governor, might be able to use the power of the veto to stop some of the stuff that's coming out of our legislature in this state. It's insane.
There you go.
About it last week, prisoners getting released from prisons and all this other garbage that's going on.
Yeah.
That really begins to get people's attention, but then they lose focus after, 48 hours. Okay, forgot about that. But
yeah.
We could have
sure.
an honest conversation between the time
all right.
we get going to the election. We might be able to get enough people to go, you know what? We had no idea this was happening.
Yeah, true. There's a lot of people that don't pay that much attention, so... All right. Hey, Ken, thank you. I do appreciate the call from Tahoe. Ben in California. Ben, welcome. Hi. What do you think about this?
I absolutely agree that Caitlyn Jenner has a chance to become governor. I mean, this is California. So many different things this state does, no other state does. And just because we're a Democratic state doesn't mean that her as a Republican isn't going to be able to make it. I mean, I used to watch the Kardashians, and I listened to him speak about the things that that family did, and he disagreed with most of the things that they did, and I'm on the same page. And if you ever listen to his motivational speaking, when he went around the country and did all that kind of thing, his values and his cores were common sense founded. So I think she has a good chance,
yeah.
but again, it's California, so you never know.
You don't know, but a lot of people, at least here in New York, have thought, oh, no, Caitlin, no, not. And I'm going, don't you be counting Caitlin out. I think because of exactly what you said, Caitlin has a long history of giving speeches about using common sense. And if there's anything missing in politics right now, left or right, is common sense. So, all right, good. Ben, thank you. Got to bug out of here, but... Well, we've got some other sound bites. Carl Rove's weighing in on it as well. And there's a clown out there that has a bear. I think his campaign manager must be the same guy who runs used car local TV commercials. What a joke.